in traveling here and stuff, there would be a lot of busyness. I didn't know how much time I would have to study and all. But I felt the Lord wanted me to agree to share, and so I agreed to it. And it was interesting the different sometimes when we're asked to have some type of responsibility, then Satan likes to throw in his darts and difficulties. The week prior to us coming here, I got a call from animal control. Some of my animals were in someone else's yard, and so I had to go and reconcile that situation, apologize. Hey, look, you know, my fence had a tree on it that I didn't check on quick enough. And then a situation happened almost identical to the scenario given this morning. My son told someone else's son something that offended them, and they told someone else who came and talked to me and had some pretty strong words for me of admonition. And so tried to go back and reconcile that situation. So in life we see that trials sometimes come, or Satan sometimes opposes us. Maybe it's the Lord giving us testings for our good. So in all things, we are Christ, and He does all things for our good, even though sometimes it seems difficult. Well, for the message this morning, we've heard so much this past week. I was only here the last day and a half, but it was so rich. So many good admonitions, encouragements, exhortations, things for us to go and live by. And I felt the Lord directing me in coming here to share. It's not going to be an earth-shattering message, but maybe just a simple one of a little bit of who we are and our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So I trust it could be a blessing for us this morning. My desire is that as a church, y'all could be knit closer together and have a sweeter and a more full relationship with the Lord Jesus. So, in this world, there are many animals with different characteristics and things that we refer to. We often talk about someone as bold as a lion or as gentle as a dove, wise as an owl. There's sly as a fox. I mean, there's all different animals that we use to pull out characteristics to describe situations or people. But there's one that is over and over used in Scripture referring to God's people. And some of y'all may know what that is. Does anyone have a thought? A sheep. Over and over, Old Testament, New Testament, God's people are referred to as sheep. Several years in South America in the highlands, and the place where I lived, it was high altitude, 12,000 feet, so it wasn't a lot of trees, a lot of kind of grasslands. And the primary occupation of the people there were they were herders. They raised sheep. They also raised some cattle. But sheep were the big thing. You'd go out walking through the countryside in the mountains there, and over here would be a flock. Over there was a flock. Everyone had their flocks. And if you would go up close to a flock, you'd always find a shepherd. There would be someone. Sometimes it would be the father, sometimes the mother, sometimes it was a child. They would be sitting there watching the sheep. Every day they'd take them to a little bit different spot. Everybody knew kind of, I guess, their boundaries where they could go. They'd watch them all day, and at night they'd bring them home, put them in. They had like little corrals or folds that they would put them in. They usually had a rock wall 4 or 5 feet high, and they were poor people, so they didn't have regular gates and doors. They would have a spot that they were made out of stones, a lot of stones there, where they'd unstack the stones and put them in and stack them back up. So they were pastors. So I'd like for us to have a little bit of that picture in our mind as we read our text. Just the whole picture of, not like modern day sheep raiser, like Henry does his sheep. You know, they're out there in the field and they're eating and happy and the fence keeps them in. And the next day or week or whenever he wants to move them, he just opens the gates and let them through. But rather the one picture of a shepherd spending his time, spending his life, taking care of his sheep. These people, they didn't have days off. For believers, someone would have to take a turn going to church on Sunday if a believing family was a raised sheep, because someone had to be out there watching the sheep. They couldn't just let them. They didn't have a place. Sometimes they'd leave them in the corral extra long Sunday morning. But they dedicated their life to their sheep. So I'd like for a text for us to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And we're going to be reading down through verse 31. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not the things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. I didn't know this morning, I know at least a few of y'all raise sheep. How many people here raise sheep? Okay, I see about three or so, four. I also have sheep. And I've been amazed at how many similarities there are between sheep and people. I really don't think that there's any other animal that has as many similarities. And I think that that's why God used them to refer to his people. They have good points and they have, we might say, negative points. I'd like to start looking here. Jesus starts off with a parable and then he sort of explains some things. So there's a few points I'd like to lift out of this parable here in, we'll look at verse 3 a little bit. The first thing I want to look at is, it says, he calleth his own sheep. Wait, I'm sorry. Yes, two things. It says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus knows the sheep by name, each sheep. And also, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. What a comfort. The shepherd knows each of his sheep by name. And the shepherd, referring to here, we've seen it as we read farther down. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd of the sheep. And there's also parallels in here with a congregation and the pastors or the leaders in the church. But I'm not going to touch on that quite as much as the fact of us as the sheep of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus knows each one of us in name. To him, we're not a great sea of faces. And, oh, yeah, I know brother so-and-so. I met so-and-so. Those that are the sheep of the Lord Jesus, he knows each one of them personally. Amen. To me, that is such a comfort. You know, back home, I don't have that many sheep right now. I only have about 65. But I know some different ones. I recognize different ones. But I don't have a name for not even one of my sheep. They each have a tag with a number on it. And it's in my ledger. And if I want to know the history of the sheep, a few of them I remember, but most of them I just look them up and I enter data as it comes in. How many babies they had, how well they did, and all those things. But Jesus knows. He's not that way. He doesn't have some book that he has to go and consult. Oh, yeah, Brother Malin. Who is he? Oh, yeah. He has two children and thus and so he married such a year. No, the shepherd knows us each by name. 2 Timothy 2:19, the first part of the verse says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing the sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And Galatians 4:9, it says, but now after ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements? We are known of God if we're his sheep. He knows us. So for me, that's a great place of rest and comfort. He has personal care. You know, this past summer, I was so busy that I didn't have time to spend enough time with my sheep and personally care for them. Sometimes I would go out and as the summer progressed, the parasites got bad and I would find one that didn't make it. Or I brought them in to take care of them and went through and checked them all off against the ledger, which all ones I had. And there'd be one or two missing. And it's like, oh, it's too bad. You know, the economic loss was probably my greatest sorrow. You know, you don't like to see animals die, but after all, they're just sheep, right? But the good shepherd is not that way with us. He cares about each of us personally. He wants each of us to prosper. We've seen later in the last part of the verse, he says, and I give unto them eternal life. I can't give eternal life to my sheep. But the Lord Jesus can give each of us eternal life as his sheep. You know, if you spend a lot of time with sheep, they know your voice. Even if you're sort of borderline like I am, my sheep still know my voice. If one of y'all would go out there in the pasture and try to call them, they'd run away. They wouldn't pay you a lot of attention. But if I go and call them, Now, the young ones, not so much. But the older ones, they all come running. And, of course, the young ones, when they see the older ones coming, they come as well. The sheep know his voice. Galatians 4:6 says, And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The sheep and the shepherd have a two-way relationship. We, as the sheep of the Lord Jesus, have a relationship with him. We hear his voice. We recognize it. We are listening for it. And the shepherd, he knows each of his sheep by name. Do we as God's people have that kind of relationship with our Heavenly Father? Do we have the kind of relationship of that continual fellowship abiding with him? As in Peru, and the shepherds would go out and sit all day, every day with their flock, giving them direction. Okay, this is where I want you to graze today. Tomorrow they take him somewhere else. They take him to water. They didn't have watering troughs, so they would take him somewhere to get a drink in a stream or a pool every day. They took care of their sheep. Do we have that relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? Is he leading us? Is he guiding us? Are we hearing his voice? Or is it just one thing? Oh, yeah, it's Sunday today. Let's see if I get up such and such a time. I can just make it in and hear a message and be blessed. We heard a lot of good encouragement this past week. Of different sins to lay aside, different things that we need to grow in. And that is good and important. But God, the Lord Jesus wants to have a relationship with us, a daily one, where we walk with him and where he calls us. So the Lord Jesus is our shepherd. So we have a two-way relationship. You know, I have a friend that he's a Calvinist. He is bought into the Calvinist theology. And he believes that God predestines everyone. There's the elect and there's the damned. And God's the one that decides. Before you're even born, he chooses this person for heaven and that person for hell. There's nothing you can do about it. If you were chosen for hell, it's just too bad. If you were chosen for heaven, then great, you'll respond to God. So everything is up to God. You have no part in it. And I once asked him, I said, because he would be a professing believer, I said, are you one of God's elect? And he said something to this effect. He said he thinks that he might be. I mean, he really hopes he is. And he said, from the things that are in my life, you know, it would lend itself for me believing I might be one of the God's elect. But let me tell you this morning, God's sheep know his voice. We don't have to wonder, am I, or I hope I kind of am, or it seems like I should be. No. God's sheep know his voice. Now, a young lamb that has just been born, they have to learn what the voice of the shepherd is like. But if they are in that flock, under the shepherd's care, it doesn't take real long for them to understand and hear when the shepherd calls. The Lord's sheep knows his name. So we can know if we're one of God's sheep. We don't have to wonder or just kind of hope. We can know. Verse 4 also says, and the Lord, it says, and he goeth before them. I really like that picture, going before the sheep. The other day, I needed to bring my sheep home. They're in a pasture about, not quite a half a mile away. I needed to bring them home to sort some of them. And so I went out there with one of my sons. And when they seen me, I called to them. And they came running, right? All the sheep came running. And as I walked home, they all followed me home. I called them every so often. And they followed me all the way into the corral or the fold that I have there. And sometimes, you know, they were rushing, almost bumping up against me. And sometimes they're kind of lagging behind. But they were following me. We are to follow the Lord Jesus. You know, I've seen many times working animals, you want them to go somewhere, so you get behind them. And you get a stick and you beat them. You try to herd them into that corral or that chute or wherever you're trying to send them into. But that's not how the Lord Jesus leads His flock. He leads His flock. The Lord Jesus doesn't ask us to go anywhere that He wasn't willing to go. The Scriptures say that He left us an example that we should follow His steps. The Lord Jesus lived on this earth. He experienced hunger, thirst, weakness. He experienced opposition from religious people, from family, from the world. He knows what it's like to live here. He died. In this life, He didn't have all the luxuries and the glories of wealth. He lived in poverty. As far as we know, His only transportation was walking, riding a donkey, or maybe a small boat. He was often tired. He got dirty. When He died, He had no personal money. And it would seem He only had one set of clothes. In Hebrews 4, it talks that He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus Christ knows what it is to live in this wicked, evil world. He knows the temptations and the struggles that we face. And He lived and overcame each one of them without sin. And He said, I have walked this path before. Come, follow Me. I have set an example how you can overcome. The Lord Jesus is not behind us to drive us into obedience. He is before us, asking us to voluntarily follow. God does not force His will upon His people. He invites us, come. Even the great invitation, Jesus said, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We can come to Christ. Do sometimes we need a spanking? Yes. It also says that the Lord chastens those that are His sons. He sometimes gives us discipline. But He is our good shepherd. He has led the way before us. He has walked through the difficult paths. And He said, as I have suffered, come and suffer. As I have overcome, come, you can be more than conquerors. So we could talk many hours about what it means to follow Jesus, His actions, His humility, His suffering. But I guess the thing that I really want to lift out for us today as God's people is our relationship with the Lord Jesus, with our shepherd. Our daily walk. He's the one out front. He's the one in charge. He's the one giving direction. He's the one we look to. We heard Friday night about the importance of not making terms or conditions for God. Brother Barry said, you know, we have this great pile of things. We say, oh God, if You want to save me, here I am. And we often want our things too. But Christ is asking us to leave that and to follow Him. Are we followers? You know, sheep are tremendous followers. I don't know how many of y'all have worked with them. There was once a teacher that he asked her student a question. She said, if you have 10 sheep in a field and one jumps over a fence, how many do you have left? And the little boy said, none. Teacher thought, well, maybe he didn't understand the question. She said, no, let's say you have 10 sheep in a field and one jumps over the fence. How many do you have left? The boy answered, none. She said, you don't understand math. And the boy replied, no, you don't understand sheep. I don't know how many of you have ever seen sheep going over a fence. And it's quite impressive. It is almost like a wave just flowing over. It's my dad, when I was a little boy, used to say, you know, you have a hard time going to sleep. You know, count sheep jumping over a fence. And I never quite understood what that meant until I raised some sheep and actually seen them going over a fence. You can't count them while they're going over a fence, but it's quite impressive. But where one goes, usually they all go. They're very, very much followers. One time I was moving sheep from one pasture to a next, and I came through the gate and called them up and then opened the gate. And of course, some of them were there before the others. And as I stood off to the side, often when they go through gates, they jump as well. And so they're all kind of flowing and jumping through this gate. And then toward the end, there were some younger ones, and they kind of shied from me. And one of them, most of my fences are just two-strand shocking wire, so it's not like huge fences. And one of them jumped over and hit the fence. It kind of got tangled up in it, but kept on going. But all the rest of them after that, right through that spot over the fence where that one had went. Sheep are very much followers. Are we followers? Are we an independent-minded lot? You know, following has its good side and its danger, just like everything in life. So it's important that we are followers. God has called us to be followers. How can we follow the shepherd if we're not followers? Not only are we to follow the shepherd, different times, Paul and in the scriptures and other admonitions of following them that have a good example of faith. Follow us in the example that we left you. So we are to follow people as they follow Christ, to follow godly men. But we need to be very, very careful who and what we're following. We need to make sure that the ones we're following are following Jesus and not some other teacher or some other philosophy, that they're following what God says in His Word. We need to make sure that the ones we're following are mature and grounded. You know, my older sheep, they will follow me no problem. And usually the younger ones are kind of in the back following along. But if a young one does something and other ones follow it, that young one, they often lose their mind. They're kind of just randomly going places and doing things. And when they follow them, just like that one that hit the fence and went over it, all the rest of them followed right through the fence. Normally they would have went through the gate. But why did they go through the fence? Because one of them broke away and they were following the wrong one. So we need to make sure that in our following, we're following the Lord Jesus. We're following godly men and women who are following the Lord Jesus. And that we're not following some young person or some false teacher. So what kind of books we read, what kind of teachers we listen to, these things have a tremendous impact on our lives. I once met a young man that he felt like he was fairly strong, as it were, but he enjoyed a wide variety of different books and teachers. And it was interesting to note his life seemed very unstable. And it's like, why is his life unstable? Well, it's because he felt like he was strong enough he could pull from all these different sources and still be okay. And not saying we cannot learn from different sources, but we have to be very careful, especially if we're young. Especially if we're young. Why? Because we don't have the age and the discernment to know as good what is the voice of the shepherd. We learn it better and better as we mature. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." There are those that are false prophets. They're false. But how do they look? If you go and you look at him, you say, "Well, he looks pretty much like a sheep. He doesn't look that much different from brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so, but he's a false prophet." Inside, he is a hungry, evil wolf. Matthew 24:11 says, "And many false prophets shall arise and deceive many." You know, I wish he would have said, there'll be a few false prophets every once in a great while, and a few people are going to go astray. I wish that's what it would say, but it doesn't say that. It says there will be many false prophets who will deceive many people. We have to be alert and aware. So it's kind of a paradox, in a sense, of needing to humble ourselves and to follow. And yet at the same time, being aware of the dangers of false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and shall bring upon themselves swift destruction." We need to be careful. There are those who secretly, privily, privately want to bring in false doctrine. Let us be aware. So not everything or everyone that looks like a sheep is. We must make sure that we're following the Lord Jesus Christ as we walk with the rest of the flock. You know, it also says there in Matthew that we will know them by their fruit. You cannot get good fruit from a bad tree. If you give them time, watch their lives, see what kind of fruit's coming out. And I think that's one of the greatest dangers. I don't know if it's the greatest, but a very great danger we have today. In our day today, we have an unlimited supply of reading material. Unlimited. You can go and there's a smorgasbord. You can get books on just about anything. One problem, there's many, many good books. But one great problem with writers is that you do not know what their personal lives are like. You do not know what their everyday lives are like. You know, in a brotherhood, some people may live as hypocrites, but in general, usually it will come out. You can go and drop in on Brother Henry, Brother Levi, Brother Mark, any of the brothers, and just see what they're like at their work and at their homes. And you can tell, is there good fruit coming here or is it not? But not so with reading. So let's be very careful with the literature that we read. So that's one side of it. But the other side is that there are those who are so independent. So independent that they have a hard time walking with a local congregation. That's also not God's desire. God's desire is that He's the shepherd and we're the sheep. Now, if you're a shepherd and you're leading a flock of sheep, and we're talking about in a local way, and you have a couple sheep here and a couple way over there and a couple way over there, and one goes darting off, how well are you going to be able to lead them? See, you lead a flock and they're supposed to stick together. They're supposed to walk together. If they're running hither and thither and a wolf comes, you're not going to be able to protect them very well. Why? Well, because one's starting over there and that one's way over there. And thank God he can be in every place at all the time. But that's not God's desire. I once had a sheep that she was a very independent minded sheep. She always kind of hung at the edge of the flock, always looking around for suspicious things. And she counted me as a suspicious thing. She never learned my voice too good. And when I would try to get him into the corral, whatever, she would always be like darting off. And of course, when one goes running, there's a whole bunch go running, right? It was frustrating. It was like she would not cooperate. She had her own will, her own mind. She thought she knew what was best. I was trying to help them. I would give them warmer. Maybe sometimes I'd give them feed or trim their hooves, whatever. And I was doing it for the good of the sheep, but she had her own mindset. She had her own thoughts of what was best for her. And obviously there were many others that she would take away with her every time. She made the whole flock wild and jumpy. And you know what? I finally had to say, you know what? This sheep is hindering me more than she's helping. And so I had to let her go.
And after that, it was amazing, the difference. The rest of the sheep were so much more cooperative, so much easier to work with when that one bad influence was gone. So we need to make sure that as the sheep of the Lord, that we're also able to walk with the flock. Is the flock, if the flock is not following the Lord Jesus, hey, let's get out. But let us walk together. You know, each one has to give up some of their own desire for the good of the whole. If I, the shepherd, want to take my sheep to pasture A and they're in pasture B, but let's say a three of them really still like the grass there, they're going to have to give up that patch of grass for the sake of the whole. We're going to move together. So let us be watchful. Let us be careful that we're following the Lord Jesus. But at the same time, let us make sure that we're not have an independent spirit, that it's not just about what I think, but that we also consider each other. Let's have that mindset of togetherness. Let's not have that mindset of being all by ourselves. Verse 7. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep." Jesus is the sheep's door. Verse 9 also says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." We've heard a lot this week about being saved, being born again. So I'm not going to elaborate on that long. But I just want to ask each one of us, have you went through the door? Have you went through the door? The door is Jesus Christ, the door into the fold, the door into the flock. But you know, there's more than one way into the fold. That seem like a shocking statement? There's more than one way into the fold. So now you're going to say, "Brother Stephen, this is false doctrine." Let me explain. Verse 1 in our text says, "He that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way." You know, I see the fold, the flock, as a church, a local church. But there's the door, and that's the way that the sheep come in. The sheep come through the door. But there's another way to get in. You can climb up some other way. But it says all those that do that are thieves and robbers. Brother James Shirk, in his message on Friday, he talked about hypocrisy. And we wonder, how do the hypocrites get into the church? Well, maybe some of them started out as sheep, but I think a lot of them, they climbed up some other way. Whether having, quote, a testimony, talking good, maybe they conform to the desires of the local congregation in practical application. But there is another way to climb in. So there are those who want to get into the fold, but they're not sheep. They don't want to repent and believe on Jesus. So if you're here in the church and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you don't know His voice, you're not following Him, the Scripture says that you're a thief, you're a robber. You're not one of His sheep. You're not one of His sheep. But if you came in through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're one of His sheep. You know, we've heard that some say that there are many ways to God. It's very popular in the secular world that there's many ways you can come to the Father. All religions lead to the same place. It's not true. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I want to look at one more thing in verse 9. It says, it talks about Jesus is a door. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. And the last part of the verse says, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I pondered over that part a lot. What does it mean to go in and out? I mean, it seems like if you come in through Jesus, you know, then you're saved. But what does it mean to go back out, right? How does that affect? But one Bible Greek source I found, it explained that and said that is, in Greek, is an idiom. I think that's how you say it. In other words, it's like a little saying for that has a different meaning. And I'll read it here. It says, "Shogo in and out is a Greek phrase that is in some places an idiom for living or conducting oneself in relationship to some community, to live with, to live among." So Jesus here was referring to the church. She'll go in and out. And it's used in a couple other places. If some of y'all are taking notes, Acts 1:21 is another one that it uses that exact same one. Numbers 27:15 through 18, you'll find that concept there. And also 2 Chronicles 1:10, where the idiom of going in and out means to dwell among, to live among, to relate to the people in your community. So if we come in through the door, and it's kind of like what I had just said a little earlier. So this is just a recap on it. But if we come in through the door and are saved, we are expected to be a part of the community. The community of the saints. It's referring to the relationship of the flock to the church. How do we relate with others in the church? Are we able to blend? Or is our way the only way? Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." You know, it's really hard for me to value someone as more important, maybe their opinion, maybe just their worth, when I have pride in my life. If I'm proud, if I think I'm really something, you know, I have all the right answers. You know, I'm strong in my opinions and I studied it out, so I have to be right. You know, I can't hardly hear other people. I'm not saying other people are always right, but do we have that lowliness of mind? Do we have that humility, that meekness, that we value others above ourselves? Or do we have pride? You know, humility is a key for a successful church. It's really a key. A church never fell apart because it had too much humility. But that's, for me, that's probably one of the most sneaky of all sins is pride. I find in my life that old Mr. Pride is always looking for some way to come in. He's peeking under the door. He's looking, seeing if the window's cracked. He's peering down the chimney. How can he sneak back into my life? And I think we need to, at least I need to always recognize that. Humility is God's desire. Verse 9, the last part says, "And find pasture." Those that follow the Christ are saved. They're redeemed. They're a part of a community. And they find pasture. What does that mean? In our modern day, we still graze animals, but often we grain feed things. Especially if you're used to hogs or chickens. I mean, if you don't pour the feed out there in the trough, they're not going to make it. But for sheep, they're designed to get their nourishment off of the grass, off the pasture. They find pasture. They find nourishment. They find sustenance. So how do we get this pasture? They get nourishment and growth from it. But where do they get it? How do they get it? And when do they get it? It comes from following the Lord Jesus. If you're not following Him, you're not going to get it. Sometimes the sheep will get fat and lazy and the shepherd will cut him back so that he'll thin up a little bit so he'll be more productive. But in general, they're to eat pasture, not be on a feeding tube and not get their food in that way. So one thing in getting past knows, are we being fed? Do we follow God's word? Do we hear what he has to say for us in his word? Or are we just living our life, hoping a good message sticks a little bit? Are we finding pasture? Are we finding growth? Are we finding nourishment? You know, it also comes through brethren talking to us. I don't know how many of y'all have ever been sat down by someone and they share a concern to you. Hey, brother, what about so-and-so in your life? What about your children? We noticed your children were doing thus and so. And you know, for me, usually when it comes, it feels, And you feel kind of like you're worthless. You messed up and everything. But it's not true. Brethren talk to us because they care about us. They're instruments of God to speak into our lives. Are we finding growth? A sheep that isn't growing good, you know, if you have a sheep and it's a year old and it's still real small, it's like, oh, that thing's not getting enough nourishment. There's something wrong. How are we in our Christian life? Are we finding nourishment following the shepherd? Or are we just kind of wandering around, and if someone would look at a snapshot of us spiritually, we'd look like this thin, little scrawny thing. But of course, we don't like to let people know where we actually are. We like to present ourselves good. Are we finding pasture? You know, and one thing also I want to point out is finding pasture is not a feeding tube. We would like, maybe y'all are different, but if the Lord would feed me with just a feeding tube, I could just go through life and he would just have that tube in me, and I'd always be just getting that nourishment without doing anything for it. I mean, growing and prospering and say, wow, look at that. But it's not that way. A sheep to get pasture has to go out and work for it. They have to go out and graze it and then digest it. They have to go out and put in some effort. And you know, the Lord Jesus will take us to good pasture every time. But we have to still be willing to partake of it, to digest it, to get that nourishment from it. It's not an automatic thing. So especially you young people, y'all have heard a lot. Put time and investment in knowing the Lord Jesus, in digging into his word, because that's how you're going to get fed. In being with his people, when opposition or trouble come, take advantage of it. I once heard a preacher that said that there's so much opportunity in suffering. And maybe it was Brother Mark the other day. I don't remember. But so many people waste that opportunity. They don't get the best out of it. Let's get the most out of it as the Lord leads us to good pasture. You know, we have a good shepherd. He's not just a hireling that'll run away when the wolf comes. He is a good shepherd. He laid down his life for the sheep. Laid down his life. Are we willing to follow that good shepherd? We have such a good shepherd. We are sheep that need to follow the shepherd. We need to follow those godly examples. We are to be his sheep. Jesus is the only way to the Father. He's the only door into the fold. You're not going to get in if you climb up some other way. I mean, you may get in for a while, but you're going to be thrown out the end as a thief and a robber. Come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many ways for thieves to get in the fold. Don't be surprised if some show up here. Don't be surprised. Because there's thieves and robbers and they want in. That's why they climb up. And they put a lot of work into getting inside the fold without having to go through the door. So if you find out that there's one here, don't say, oh, whole church is done. They're all just a bunch of hypocrites. I mean, just accept it. Hey, there are going to be some that sneak in because they really want to be there for whatever reason. We as sheep are to be in a local flock. God desires that we are together with His people. And if we follow the shepherd, He'll lead us to good pasture. He really will. You know, sometimes we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Sometimes we go through difficult times, dark times. Should we despair? Does the shepherd not know what he's doing when there's troubles and trials, difficulties? Or is he teaching us to follow? See, he'll lead us to good places, but it may not be right now. Sometimes a dark valley has to be crossed for us to get to the greener pasture on the other side. In closing, I'd like for us all to turn to Psalm 23. And in the light of the message this morning, of us as sheep and the Lord as our good shepherd, I want us to all stand and then we'll read this together, and so everybody can stand. And I want us just to focus on the relationship between the good shepherd and us as his sheep. So if we could all read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may all be seated. May God bless each one of you.